The Wednesday corn, soybean, and wheat markets popped. This is the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast. On Thursday morning, the 16th of September, good morning, I'm Andy Eubank. The podcast presented by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and Ashley Davenport checking in with Hat News today, including Benson Hill acquiring a soy crushing facility here in Indiana. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says some very pleasant weather today. He'll detail some rain possibilities in the coming days, though. The news is next here on Hat.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Benson Hill grows in Indiana and meeting farmers where they're at on their smartphone. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Food tech company Benson Hill has announced the expansion of their ingredients infrastructure by purchasing a soybean crushing facility from Seymour, Indiana-based Rose Acre Farms. They say the acquisition will support production of a portfolio of proprietary, non-GMO, and sustainable soy protein and oil ingredients for the human food and animal feed markets. Jeff Johnson, president of Benson Hill Seeds, says this acquisition isn't the only area of growth for the company.
Last year, we contracted 30,000 acres. We grew 70,000 acres this year, and that includes our really first commercially launched ultra-high protein soybeans. And that's a soybean plant that just is genetically better for protein, so it can produce upwards of 50% protein out of the field on dry weight basis.
Recent data projects that the value of the global plant protein market could surpass $162 billion by 2030. The facility will ultimately have the capacity to process Benson Hill's proprietary soybean varieties to serve that market, including those high ultra-protein soybeans, which will be harvested this fall.
Many consumers are wanting more whole foods or a cleaner label, more plant-based proteins, and it really feeds into what our products do. So whether someone's growing livestock, we have specialty protein products that have low raffinose and stachyosis, anti-nutritionals that upset a young animal's stomach, so we can help them with better rate of gain with that. But also from a food standpoint, soy protein concentrate is one of the most used ingredients in food. And if we look at the rise of the plant-based meat replacement market, for example, if you're interested in that, that uses a lot of soy protein concentrate.
Benson Hill says the facility will continue to serve existing customers. The transaction is expected to close by the end of the month.
Join 100,000 farmers and ag enthusiasts like yourself at the 59th Annual Farm Science Review. The Farm Science Review is September 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. We have over 600 exhibitors that provide equipment, services, and education to the many visitors each day. The Farm Science Review is the only national farm show that has both corn and soybean harvest, tillage, drainage, and precision agriculture demonstrations. Buy your tickets online at fsr.osu.edu. We look forward to seeing you at Farm Science Review 2021.
More farmers than ever are working in digital spaces, and Indigo Ag is meeting farmers there to trade grain. Here's Ashley Davenport.
Typically, the first step in the process is picking up your phone to call a buyer. Heather Gieske, head of North American Crop Marketing Trade Operations, says the traditional way of trading grain might not work as well nowadays.
We live in a very on-demand culture where if you want a cheeseburger, you can have it showed up at your door in 20 minutes. If you want to order a couch from your phone and have it here by Friday, you can do that. And so why should grain trading be any different?
Indigo's marketplace platform is a software that's designed to bring buyers and sellers together anytime, anywhere.
I'm going to go into my smartphone. I'm going to download the marketplace app. I'm going to put in some basic information, the location of my farm, my entity name, just some very basic demographic information. And right away, I can pull up a list of bids that are prioritized by my specific location, net of freight. So it's automatically collecting all of those bids. Not only that, you can then go and actually transact on that bid.
Boiling it down, Gieske says that Marketplace is a simpler, more efficient way to trade grain. To learn more about Marketplace, we have a link on this story on our website.
That's Ashley Davenport reporting, and the website is HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the largest Ohio-based independent seed company and the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest-growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com for more information. Moving through your Thursday, we are sunny and dry in all areas. You might see temperatures back just a little bit from the highs we saw earlier in the week. So comfortable or pleasant is what I'm going to call most of the state today. We do see a bump in temperatures for tomorrow, Friday, and probably a bump in humidity too. There is a minor disturbance coming through the Great Lakes tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night. It brings a little bit of moisture to Michigan. I bring this up only because the tail end of that front, and it's a dying front, but the tail end of that front may drag into northern Indiana and southern tier counties of Michigan as we move through the overnight Friday night and into early Saturday morning. It could be enough to trigger a few hit and miss scattered showers before the noon hour on Saturday. I don't think we see big time moisture. If you see rains at all, you're looking at a few hundredths to a tenth or two. Coverage will be likely 10% or less in the state, but still, the idea is it's there. I can't quite wave the all clear flag yet for Saturday. We are fully dry Sunday. We're dry Monday. And I think now we squeeze out most of Tuesday. There is some moisture starting to come up out of the deep south late Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night. So keeping an eye out for scattered showers in southwest Indiana there. And clouds will be building over the rest of the state. But then we actually see a frontal complex come through for Wednesday and Thursday of next week, especially through Thursday morning. Rain totals right now quarter to three quarters of an inch with coverage at 100% of Indiana. This is a big system. The low still stays back in the upper Midwest, so you'll end up seeing some comma-shaped wraparound coming. I'm not sure that wraparound makes it down into our neck of the woods through next Saturday, but what we do see is a significant change, a significant drop in temperatures to finish next week for Friday and then Saturday to start the weekend, the 25th. Temperatures are below normal. It's going to be a marked change from what we've been dealing with here recently. Significant drop. You get over the upper Midwest, Minnesota, Wisconsin, they're looking at 5,000 foot temperatures anywhere from the freezing mark to a good 5 degrees below freezing. Now, again, that's 5,000 feet, so it's not the end of the world, but here you can get the idea. We're seeing a significant cool Canadian air mass coming in to the northern part of the country. It leaves relatively quickly, but it's going to be signaling a change, at least a little bit, in our forecast pattern short term. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Gains in the grains. This is Hoosier Ag Today and the Wednesday Farm Market Review, and we were up all around in corn, soybeans, and wheat on Wednesday. I'm Andy Eubank. Numbers are on the way. This report is brought to you by Co-Alliance Cooperative, your local agriculture and energy partner for nearly a century. We begin with market analysis to find out why the up move yesterday. For that, Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago, joined me at the end of trade. Tom, double-digit gains in corn, soybeans, and wheat, and that came even with some soybean cancellations early in the morning. The bean market shook that off and followed, though, much of the commodity sector to the plus side.
You're absolutely right, Andy. For soybeans, it was a impressive performance, given that the USDA announced cancellations of, 328,000 tons of soybeans previously sold. Is it a total surprise? Not really, not with the problems at the Gulf. And then yesterday, it was thought China had gone down to Brazil for some quick shipment beans, but, you know, I'll underline that with their optional origin. So, you know, if we can get our, U.S. Gulf and New Orleans back in, operations sooner versus later, we could very easily see these, beans bought out of Brazil shifted back to the U.S. So, but the bottom line is, the bean market put in a, impressive performance today. And a lot of that is in part to soybean oil. Soybean oil continues to be a rather tight commodity despite the increase in crush. That helped out soybeans. But soybean oil stocks come in higher than expected due to the higher than expected crush data from NOPA. But, you know, palm oil is strong, and it's hard to ignore just how strong our U.S. crude market is. It's up another $2 a barrel today, made a high at $73 a barrel. We haven't seen crude prices that high in, we tapped at it in early August. We tapped at it in July, but I don't know. Right now, it looks like this crude oil market is on a bender. So, you know, that helps out corn. We saw a nice rebound in the ethanol grind for the second week in a row. So, you know, things are looking good for corn. You know, I still think we're looking at a fair amount of short covering here as the corn market retraces the recent break that we saw in the last week of August, first week of September. I think a fair amount of people started to get short corn on the idea that, you know, we're going to have more corn than we know what to do with. But, you know, given the numbers that the USDA gave us on Friday, there's room for short covering. And I think that's what we're looking at right now. And, you know, as I mentioned to some, it's incentive for the producer to go out there and harvest. But I will admit premiums are coming down. That we've seen in the country for, you know, quick shipment. But, you know, the idea that the Gulf is coming back into operation, I think really helps out the corn market. And then just, you know, an overall firm tone in commodities in general, if you will. The wheat market continues to find support from a lower Canadian crop, a lower European crop. And early this morning, Russia came out and said, don't be surprised if winter wheat acres are down 500,000 to a million hectares, talking about, you know, the continued dryness, Russian wheat producers worried about how the export taxes from Russia are cutting into export potential. So, you know, they think, well, maybe we can do better planting more soybeans, planting more corn. So that all works to support the wheat market. So, you know, the bottom line is, you know, crude oil impacts soybean oil. It's higher. Crude oil impacts ethanol. It's higher. So that gets into the corn market. Wheat, it's all about a global smaller supply, despite what the USDA alluded to on the last supply-demand report. Where, okay, we saw a slight reduction in U.S. wheat carryout stocks, but what was it, a 4 million ton, 3 million ton increase in world ending stocks? I'm not sure what that's all about. I still think, you know, the overall global scenario for wheat is tight. And if you go back to last week, we saw a number of international tenders for wheat when the market was breaking down. So it tells me that, you know, major importers of the world are looking at global wheat as being tight, and that they're coming after the hard break, such as we saw last week. And then, you know, as I mentioned, Canada's production getting cut, France's production getting cut. You know, it says this wheat market's not over with yet. Whereas for corn and beans, you know, we're coming into harvest, and, you know, my father always taught me it's tough to be long futures market when you're coming into harvest, and we've got a decent crop out there. So that's why I'm thinking that, you know, the recent corn rally, the recent bean rally is more short covering than anything else.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Now, a check on the settlements from Wednesday. December corn, 533 and a half, up 13 and a quarter. March up 12 and a half cents, 540 and three quarters. May up 11 and a half. Soybeans, November, 12.94 and a half, 12 cents up, 13.03 on the Jan, up 11 and three quarters, March up 11 and a half, and 11 and a half higher December wheat at 7.12 and a quarter. Mixed in livestock with October live cattle up a nickel, 124.17. Deferred contracts down just a little, up $1.90 on the October lean hogs, 82.27. That's the Wednesday market review, and that is a wrap on the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast for the 16th of September. Have a great day. The podcast presented by First Farmers Bank and Trust. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.